Our second reading comes from the Gospel according to Mark. Listen once again for God's word to us. Jesus and his disciples went on from there and passed through Galilee. He did not want anyone to know it, for he was teaching his disciples, saying to them, "The Son of Man is to be betrayed into human hands, and they will kill him. And 3 days after being killed, he will rise again." But they did not understand what he was saying and were afraid to ask him. Then they came to Capernaum, and when he was in the house, he asked them, "What were you arguing about on the way?" But they were silent, for on the way they had argued with one another who was the greatest. He sat down, called the 12, and said to them, "Whoever wants to be first must be last of all and a servant of all." Then he took a little child and put it among them, and taking it in his arms, he said to them, "Whoever welcomes one such child in my name welcomes me, and whoever welcomes me welcomes not me, but the one who sent me." The grass withers and the flowers fade, but the word of our Lord endures forever. We all have an image of Jesus we hold dear. Perhaps as Jesus is the good shepherd, our Jesus welcoming all, Jesus telling everyone they can come to the table. These are the images of Jesus that we tend to read all of Scripture through. And sometimes we read all of Scripture through these images to the point that we don't remember exactly how radical his teaching really is. So Jesus is walking with his disciples. This is just the intimate circle of people he's been teaching for a long time. He's not talking to a crowd at this moment. He's just talking to those who have followed him most closely. And he begins to talk about what is to come in the future. And it's difficult. He says, "The Son of Man, the Messiah, is going to be betrayed into human hands, killed, and then on the third day resurrected." And it's so uncomfortable, even for the disciples, that they're not sure how to respond. So they do what often happens. They just remain silent and don't ask the question, because to ask a question for clarification might mean that they hear something they're not ready to hear. So, fearing the truth and not sure about the implications, they turn to that ever human desire to jockey for a position. Who's exactly the best among us? And they're having this really long, heated discussion as they travel to the next town. Who's the best? And certainly, my qualities are better than his. So they're really having quite a heated discussion. And it's a natural discussion, but they must know how unworthy the discussion is. Because when Jesus says, "So what was it you were talking about?" Again, dead silence. They don't want to admit what they have been doing. So Jesus goes on to define, well, what does it mean? And he's tried to tell them, the Messiah is not exactly what you expect. This is not going to be a place of honor, but a place of serving. And Jesus is great about pulling those concrete examples in. And so he picks what would have been the most vulnerable person in his society, a child. And did you notice in the scripture that it didn't refer to the child as he or she? It. That tells us a little bit about where children stood in that first century. Children were not welcomed, were not coddled. Children were just, they were there. But they were very vulnerable. A child without protection would have been in a terribly vulnerable situation. And he knows that for the disciples to fully understand what it means to be a servant of the Messiah, what it means to be a leader, means serving first. And so he pulls the most vulnerable person in his society there and uses this as a concrete example. Today, we probably wouldn't pull a child. We would probably use a different example. Perhaps the recent immigrant. Perhaps the refugee. Perhaps the food insecure. Perhaps the lonely, the mentally ill, the grieving. And we would pull those as an example of the vulnerable because Jesus is talking about how we serve the most vulnerable among us. He says the true measure of my disciples is those who serve those who have the most need. When I was in seminary, I studied with a Christian educator, Roger Nishioka. And Roger was talking to me one time, and he said, you know, he used to work in the Louisville office of the Presbyterian Church. And he said, I was always interested to see how people would treat me. He said they would come in and they would be wonderfully gracious to him and perfectly generous and wonderfully kind. And he said, but I always watched first to see how they treated my receptionist. Because that told me a lot more about who this person was. How do you treat those who are in no position to uphold you or put you into a higher position? And he said, that's more important to me. So in his class, the very first tests that we had, he asked us what the name was of the janitor was who cleaned the bulletin boards. Because he said, realize this is important. It's important that we recognize God's face in everyone, not just in the professor you're trying to impress. It's as important to recognize God's face in everyone we meet, particularly those who are not in a position to further your position, to give you more honor or accolades. We recognize God's image in everyone we meet. Or that's what we're called to do as God's disciples. My daughter goes to a public elementary school and they have a bench. And it's called the buddy bench. And their kids who are lonely are supposed to go, you know, who need somebody to play with, are told to go and sit on this bench and someone else will come and play with them. And I ask her, so how does that work? Do kids come over? And she said, well, she says, you have to watch, Mom. She said, you can't just walk past it. She said, you have to watch. Because sometimes somebody comes over because they weren't allowed to play kickball. Or they weren't allowed to play wood chips. And I don't know what wood chips is. I still don't know. And apparently this is a game that they have played from time immemorial in Galena, but I didn't grow up in Galena. So I have no idea what it is, but she said, sometimes they won't let you play wood chips, and so somebody goes over there, and she said, and you have to go and sit by them. I said, well, what do you do? She says, sometimes you just sit. Sometimes there's nothing you can say. Sometimes you just sit because they're lonely. I said, do other kids do this? And she said, oh, yes. Yes. She said, We're pirates. We're told that we are to be kind first and foremost. I love that in the elementary school. But who has the buddy bench in the middle school? Who sits with the kid who's new or doesn't have a group of friends or is just a little on the outs? Who sits with the kid in high school who isn't on the football team are on the basketball team, are on the volleyball team, are on the cheerleaders, or who doesn't play in the band or sing in the choir, who sits with them? Who sits with the lonely person in the church who's grieving and has been grieving for quite some time? And that person's friends have said, well, haven't you gotten over it by now? Haven't you figured out to move on? Who sits with the person who's just been diagnosed with cancer and who knows that their normal has changed beyond anything that they can imagine? Who sits with them? Hopefully, it's those of us who follow the risen Lord, who follow Jesus as Messiah, who told us that it's not those who can further our status, but all of those whom God loves, all of those whom God's heart breaks for, all of those who God's arms reach out to embrace. By showing compassion, by not worrying about who has the shiniest scales in the ocean and who was the most beautiful fish in the sea, but by sharing compassion and giving ourselves away, we show an understanding of who Jesus really is and who we are as Christ's disciples. We're those who don't necessarily know the answers, but who seek God in everyone we meet. We're not necessarily those who have the right words at the right times, but those who are willing to sit with the grieving, the downhearted, the lonely. It's by our willingness to be present with the vulnerable that we join in the embodying love of Christ that calls us forth to be disciples living in God's world today. Thanks be to God for God's embodying love that calls us forth to share this love in the world. Amen.